Let me read again the passage that's our theme. Turn to Ephesians 5. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, just the one verse. Ephesians 5, verse 8. I want to read it so that we have it in our minds as we think about the passage this evening. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I want to begin this evening by commending you. I am impressed. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. And I wrote my father yesterday and said that if you represent the future of our churches, then there is good hope indeed for our churches. I'm very impressed by your behavior, by your ability to get along with one another, by your love for the Word of God, especially insofar as I've seen that. And I think that represents what we have here in Ephesians 5, verse 8. I think that's evidence that you are light in the Lord. But I want to talk about that too. That is an amazing statement. Think about it. The Word of God says that you are light in the Lord. Did you know that the Bible only says that or anything like that about God Himself and about our Lord Jesus Christ? God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Jesus is the light of the world. And then here in Ephesians 5, verse 8, you are light in the Lord. That is, I can only say that's an incredible statement. Now, Reverend Klein used last night the illustration of a light bulb. And I thought that was a really good illustration. In fact, I'm going to steal it. Not tonight, but I'll be using it sometime. But a light bulb really doesn't teach what the Word of God, doesn't illustrate what the Word of God is teaching here. A light bulb isn't light. It holds the light. It shines with the light. But you can't say that a light bulb is light. So what the Bible says here about you goes way beyond the illustration that Reverend Klein used last night. You are light. And I want you to take that home with you too. I really think that what the Word of God says here is something that you and I too, any believer, needs to remind himself, remind herself of constantly. Get up in the morning. Get ready to go to work. Think about the fact that the Bible here in Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, you, I are light in the Lord. Just simply an amazing and incredible statement. Now that's true. If you look at the passage, you'll see that. That's true because you're children of light. Again, another amazing statement. That means that the light is your father. And that explains why you are light. You have your personal characteristics because of who your father and mother are. You are what you are. because of them. But spiritually, you're light because the light is your Father. It's the power of the light, the warmth of the light that make you what you are. That's what the Word of God is saying here about you and every other believer. And I want to start with that because that's where the Word of God starts here. It starts not with do this, be this. We have to hear that. That's important. But it starts by telling us who we are, what we are. We have to know that it's our calling to walk as children of the light. But when we hear do this, don't do that, there's no encouragement in that. That's just telling us how we have to live. But there is huge encouragement in this. You are light, therefore walk as children of light. You see that? By telling you and me what we are, by grace, in Jesus Christ, the Word of God is giving us the greatest possible encouragement that it can give us. And that's why I want to start with that too. Now, I said that the Bible explains that by that reference to being children of light. It also explains it when it says that we are light in the Lord. It's talking about the fact that by faith, you have to be a believer if this is to be true, but by faith we are joined to Jesus Christ Himself. That's what faith is in its deepest reality. It's union with Christ. And you're so joined to Him, you and I, by faith, that we become light. And that, I say, is the greatest possible encouragement that we could have in our calling to walk as children of light. Maybe we're thinking about going somewhere where we know that we shouldn't go. And if we think to ourselves, keep in mind what the Word of God says here, I'm light in the Lord, then that's a reason not to go. If we perhaps are discouraged in our Christian life, feel like we're not making much progress, need some encouragement, then here it is. How am I going to do this? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to go on in the calling and way that the Lord has given me? I'm light in the Lord. I think you can see the encouragement and help that that gives. And that's what the Word of God is applying, not only in verse 8, but in the whole chapter here, really in the whole last part of the book of Ephesians. It's telling us in detail, in the home, in the world, in the church, what it means to walk as children of light, but to do that because of what we are. Maybe an illustration helps. Maybe your parents say something like that to you. Maybe they said something like that to you before you left for the retreat. Remember who you are. Remember that you're part of our family. Remember that you're part of our church. Remember who you are when you're there. Well, the Word of God takes that up to a different level by saying that we are light in the Lord. And then reminding us of our calling to walk as children of light. And of course we have to talk about that too. But I really think that there's a sense in which we could stop right there. That we wouldn't have to say anything about the warnings that are there in Ephesians 5. Wouldn't have to talk about what it means to walk as children of the light in a more positive way. If we really knew, really understood, really believed, really kept in mind that first truth of this passage. If we lived in the consciousness of what God has made us in Jesus Christ, then we probably wouldn't need all these reminders. They're there, and they're there for a good reason. They're there, of course, because as Edward read in Matthew 5, we sometimes hide our light, sometimes don't walk as children of light. People look at us, see the way they're walking, and it looks more like we're walking in darkness or as children of darkness rather than as children of light. So we do need the reminders. But I think you understand what I'm saying when I say that we could almost stop with the first part of this verse and take that home with us, and that would be enough. And I hope you do. But because the specifics are important too, I think we should talk about them also a little bit this evening. You're light in the Lord, therefore walk as children of the light. And that's what's developed in this whole last part. Ephesians 4 talks about what that means in the church. Ephesians 5 talks about what that means in the world. And then the last part of Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6 talk about what that means in the home and family. What it means to be a child of light in all of those different areas of our lives. I want to focus especially on Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 16. Now, I'm not going to read all of that, but I hope you will, when you have an opportunity, that you read the warnings that are there. That's rather striking. That in talking about, in a very practical way, about what it means to walk as children of the light, almost everything is by way of warning. Starting with verse 3. And I'm not going to talk about all the details, but there are a couple of things I think that are worth pointing out, especially in the world that we live in and in connection with the temptations that we have to deal with. Look at verse 3, what the very first warning. Now, we live, of course, in a world where we have access, probably more so than at any other time in the history of God's church, to the things that the Word of God is talking about there in verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. That's the first warning. Now, if that was necessary in the days of the Apostle Paul, I think you'll agree with me that it's 100 times more necessary today. Connection with the internet and all that's available on the internet. Connection with the fact that we live in the have-to-have-it age. I have to have this. I'm not going to be happy without that. And of course, all the media just fuel that covetousness, because that's what it is. And these are the things that the Word of God warns against first in talking about our calling to walk as children of the light. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Think about that. But then think too about verses 11 and 12. That takes it a step further. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And again, I would have you think of some of the things that are readily available today that really fit the description of what the Apostle Paul talks about here, are too shameful even to speak of. But verse 11 warns against letting those things become your friends. And it's warning against what happens so often today, that people become, that's the only word I can think of, become addicted to these things, to filth, to uncleanness, to all the wickedness that's there in the world. I know that that's a particular concern of Reverend Klein's, but it is a concern of mine also, to become addicted to the things that Paul is talking about here, to have fellowship with them so that they become your friends, is in some ways more serious even than becoming addicted to drugs or to become a drunkard or something like that. Harder to break. But that's what Paul is warning against. The Bible, you see, wasn't written 2,000 years ago about a world that was so entirely different from ours that we can hardly imagine what it's like. What Paul says here is said as though he was sitting in front of a computer and searching the internet, and perhaps without even meaning to, finding things on the internet that are too vile to speak of, and realizing that there's that very real possibility that we make those things our friends, have fellowship with them. Think of the entertainment world too, and ask yourself the question, where is my fellowship really? Is it with the unfruitful works of darkness? I love sports. Love watching sports, especially college football. Love playing sports. But there's no question, and I have no doubt that you'll agree with me on that, that those are unfruitful things. But as you think about them, ask yourself the question that the Word of God raises here. Where's my fellowship? Is it almost entirely in that whole realm of entertainment, not only sports, but music and all the rest? Are those the things that I'm with all the time? Those the things that take almost all of my attention, that I'm most concerned about? It's all by way of explaining what it means to walk as children of the light. And I think you can see the necessity of those warnings as well. And then verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Don't, if I can put it in everyday language, don't ever start thinking that these things are harmless. That you can play around with them, that you can dabble in them, and not do that to your own spiritual disadvantage and hurt. Don't let any man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Those are some of the warnings. And as we think about them, I'm sure that we all see the need for those warnings. Walk as children of light. But I don't want to be completely negative either. In fact, that would be wrong. The Word of God in verse 8 is very positive. Walk as children of light. And I want you to look with me in connection with that at Matthew 5. There, especially, the positive calling to walk as children of light is explained and developed. Verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I think I should say, although I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, that when verse 14 says you are the light of the world, it doesn't mean that somehow, as light in the Lord, you make this world a little less dark and a little less wicked. Or to put it a little differently, that it's your calling to somehow change this evil world in which we live. That is not what the passage means. When it says that you're the light of the world, it's saying that you are the only light in the world. There's that idea that we had in Ephesians 5 again. The only place in all the world where you will find any light. Erwin Klein said that it's in the church, but that means that it's in every believer too. You won't find light anywhere else. And the presence of believers in the world doesn't make this world any less wicked, any less worthy of God's judgment either, nor is it our calling to somehow lighten the world. That's the work of God's grace and of God's Holy Spirit. But having said that, I want you to look at verse 16 especially. What does it mean to walk as a child of the light? It means that you live a life of good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's all. It means that you do your daily business. Do it in obedience to the Word of God. And do it to the best of your ability. And do it for God's honor and glory. That's good works. Good works are not something that only a few very special people can do. You don't have to be
a minister or a Christian school teacher or an elder in the church to be doing good works. If you're a godly mother, you're doing good works. Some of the very best works. Father, a good church member, faithful, pious, God-fearing church member, by their example, by their faithfulness, is doing good works. Suppose you could put it this way, that doing good works means being the best young person, the best father, the best mother, the best son or daughter, the best worker, no matter what your work is, that you can possibly be. And being that because God says so. That's good works. It's not something dramatic. It's just going about your daily business in obedience to God. Whether it's changing tires or being a Christian school teacher or being a good mother in the home. That's what the Word of God is talking about here. And I tell you too, your light shines in that. Being in whatever place God has given you, honest, diligent, faithful, God-fearing, your light shines in that. Talked about marriage. For some of you, life may mean that you remain unmarried. Well, then be, and the Bible has some good instruction about that, be the very best unmarried person in the kingdom of God that you can be. Don't be unhappy about that, dissatisfied, constantly grumbling about it. That's good works. And it's in those things that your light shines. That's what people notice. There's a verse in 1 Peter 3 that strikes me every time I read it. You know, a lot of people, when they think about doing good works, they think about joining YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and going off to some foreign country and helping the poor and things like that. Now, there's nothing wrong with that kind of thing. I would even hope that if you have opportunity, you make a visit to the Philippines. And a long enough visit that you can not only see the work, but perhaps contribute in some way to the work that's being done there. Nothing at all wrong with that. But it's in the daily business of life, as we go about our daily business for the glory of God and in the fear of God, that our light really shines. And I think that Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 3. Look at 1 Peter 3, verse 15. I don't have my glasses, so I'm having a little trouble reading. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Notice that. Starts there. You hold Him holy in your hearts. You know His holiness. You never forget His holiness. That's sort of the center of your whole life. The holiness of God Himself. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Now, there's probably no passage in the Bible that says as much as that verse does about being a witness, letting your light shine. But did you notice that it doesn't talk about going out and knocking on people's doors, handing out tracts, going out of your way to talk to somebody about your Christian faith? Again, those are all useful things. But it talks about being ready to give an answer. And the idea is that you are living your life every day and in everything you do in such a way that people notice. And notice that there is something very, really different about you. In your home, the way you do your work, whatever it is, they notice that there's something odd to them, something very unusual about you, and they start asking questions. And that's when you have the opportunity, 1 Peter 3 says, to witness, to give an answer concerning the hope that is in you, concerning the reason why you live as you do, even in your daily work, and even in your own home, and even in your personal life. But that's what letting your light shine is. Being a good father, a good mother, good son or daughter, all of those things that I've mentioned. The best that you can be by God's grace. And people notice that too. I've seen many examples of that. In fact, the camp here, we come here every September with the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders from our school. And the camp has noticed that there's something different about the way we do things, about the way the children behave. That's what the Word of God is talking about here. That's what it means to walk as a child of the light, or to let your light shine in your good works. Nothing dramatic. Just doing what God calls you to do to the best of your ability and for His honor and glory. Some of the things you take for granted are a good example of what I'm talking about too. Your family life, home life. In fact, there are Christians who, if they had the opportunity to be in your home for a period of time, would be deeply impressed by the orderliness, impressed by the fact that not a day goes by that there aren't family devotions or family worship of some kind. That's something completely foreign to them. You take it for granted. But it's in things like that that your light shines. Most people, you know, and I hope you're not like that, most people come home from work, grab something out of the refrigerator, stick it in the microwave, and plunk themselves down in front of the television. And the other members of the family, as they come home, do the same thing. And that's what family life is, at its best, in most homes. If there's not constant warfare and fighting and all of the rest, that's what family life is. Everybody goes off to work in the morning, and everybody comes home in the evening. There's no fellowship, and certainly no family worship or devotion of any kind. And they notice things like that. That's what the Word of God is talking about here. I hope you understand that too. That your calling is not to go home and sign up with some mission organization and go off to some foreign country to do good works. Your calling, as far as this passage is concerned is to go home and be better church members, better sons and daughters, better, more honest, more faithful workers in whatever calling the Lord has given you. And work is a good example too. There was, when I was in Covenant High School in Grand Rapids, then I worked in Standale, and there were others from Covenant who worked there too. And it didn't take very long before the merchants in Standale began to realize that if they wanted reliable, honest, faithful people to hire, best place to get them was at Covenant Christian. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about letting your light shine. Being honest, on time, diligent, faithful. Now, they don't know why, but you do. It's because, as Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, that you're light in the Lord. You're not just doing that for a wage. Not just doing it because you're harder working than others, but you're doing it because the light of God is in you. That's what the Word of God is talking about here. And that goes for every area of life. Some of you know that we have a handicapped son. And we, of course, as his parents, are very concerned for him. But it's not just us. The children are too. Jennifer comes all the way from Northern Ireland and spends a whole day going to Spokane to visit Neil. And they notice that. There are people in that institution who no one ever visits, and who, when we go, get upset because no one ever comes to see them, not even their own family members. That's letting your light shine, you see. No matter what it is, for God's glory and honor, out of the love of God, you do your best in whatever circumstances, whatever calling the Lord has placed you. It's not easy. If you walk as a child of the light, and most of you have probably found that out already, people sometimes speak evil of you, you lose friends. Walking as a child of the light means sometimes that people who you thought you could depend on prove themselves undependable because you insist on walking as a child of the light and doing what's right. Sometimes you lose your job because of that. Not saying that it's easy. And of course, in the end, it's going to bring persecution, suffering. All who live godly in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy says, shall suffer persecution. And that's good to know too, lest we become discouraged when we find that it's difficult. But I hope and pray that the retreat, time you've spent with one another, the speeches that you've heard, and the discussion groups will encourage you to do that. Because of the difficulties, you're going to need what Paul talks about in Ephesians 5, or rather Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord, he says. Not easy. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Don't think you can do this without full armor helmet, shield, sword, and all the rest. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There's that too. You need that. But go home. Go home with this in your heart. First of all, with what and who you are by God's grace. And out of that, the resolve that you will walk as children of the light. And that God will use that too for the good of His church, to bless your families, and use it too as He is sometimes graciously inclined to do. Use it for the salvation of others. Reverend Klein will, I am sure, verify what I say when I say the most effective means for the salvation of others is the personal witness of the lives of God's people. And that's you. You at work. You even in your recreation. You and your families and at home. You and the churches that you belong to. That's you. And don't forget it. Don't go home and just brush this off as though it's something to be left till you're a little older, perhaps married and with children of your own. The Word of God here in Ephesians is talking to you. Book of Ephesians, I don't know if you ever realized that, Book of Ephesians is written to husbands, wives, children, masters, servants, all of us in the place that God Himself has given us. And so take to heart the Word of God here in Ephesians 5, verse 8. You were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Wherever you go, whatever you do, and do that in the confidence too that someday you'll be with God Himself in that kingdom that has no need of sun or moon or stars, where God Himself in Jesus Christ is the light of His people forever and ever. Thank you.